This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tye. Thank you so much for tuning in today. The City of Milwaukee's License Division is continuing to accept applications from prospective taxi operators. That comes after a judge last week refused to issue an injunction keeping a new ordinance from going into place to lift the city's cap on taxicab permits. Opponents of that ordinance have filed a lawsuit seeking to overturn it. Proponents had claimed the previous caps had amounted to a monopoly protecting a few drivers. The new ordinance also paves the way for ride services such as Uber and Lyft to operate above board in Milwaukee. The cover story in today's Milwaukee Business Journal makes the case that these ride services have been a game changer here for riders and for the industry. Writer Allison Botter joins us regularly to talk about business and technology, and she's with us now to talk about how they're intersecting on the roads. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mitch.
Is this, strictly speaking, a business story or a technology story, or can you separate the two?
I think it's a little bit of both. It's a business competition being driven, not to make a pun there, but being driven by technology and rapidly changing technology there.
Well, and so is the change being driven by the technology, or is the demand driving the technology to make the change?
Well, I think what we're seeing is that, you know, in Milwaukee, there's been this cap on the taxi cabs for the longest time. And the cabbies themselves are saying, hey, well, there's really not that much demand, so it doesn't make sense to lift this cap. But what these new tech-driven companies coming in are finding is that people are using mobile apps, using smartphone technology, and they're getting plenty of rides, plenty of use. So the demand is clearly there, and the technology kind of brings it to light.
The supply is going up, and the demand is going up all at the same time.
That's what it would look like, yeah.
Well, so let me ask a very basic question here. What is it that these ride services, we're talking mainly Uber and Lyft here, what do they offer that people increasingly like versus what traditional cab companies have always offered?
Right. So Lyft and Uber are making it possible to have a smartphone app that's going to link up, in this case, with your Facebook profile and tell you when your ride is coming, how much it will cost, and all these things kind of in an upfront, transparent way, especially for younger users. A lot of them in Milwaukee are the college-age Marquette, UWM students. They really like that kind of conveniency, transparency, and the simplicity that comes with it. I think part of the challenge is that for taxis, there's a sense that, you know, that they're not available when the students need them, that they are, you know, catering to the, say, the airport, the Pfister, that kind of area. That may not be as true as they think. There certainly are apps available for those taxis, much like the ones for Lyft and Uber. I think it's a matter of, as I say in this week's cover story in the Business Journal, kind of winning over those hearts and minds and, you know, getting to be top of mind when someone opens up their smartphone and wants to use an app to get somewhere.
The cab companies still believe that there are things on their side, even as the cap on the licenses was lifted. What is it that cabs say they offer that they don't believe you can get from one of these ride services?
Right. So there's a lot of things the cabs are saying. Ali Muhammad, who owns the Yellow Cab Co-op, he makes the simple case that, like, well, one thing they've got going for them is color. You know a cab when you see it. You're able to just put your hand out, hail it. You don't need to take out a smartphone or even own one to get a ride. Additionally, you know, they make the case that, look, they know the town. They have these clean, well-taken-care-of cars, et cetera. So there's definitely, you know, both sides are kind of forced to make their case at this point as the competition is changing.
Well, and a lot has been made about the unconventional ways the two big ride service companies, Uber and Lyft, do their advertising. And by and large, cabs have always just done their advertising by being visible.
Right. Yeah. And it's a pretty simple concept there, right? Whereas Uber and Lyft, you know, you're going to see them all over Twitter, all over Facebook. And on Lyft's side, what you'll see is those big pink fuzzy mustaches on the cars you've probably seen downtown and around. That's their mobile advertisement.
You mentioned that the rub that cab companies, rightly or wrongly, have had on them is where they're located, airports, hotels, and events in the downtown corridor. What is it that the ride service companies say they offer in terms of location?
Well, in terms of location, the idea is that you don't need to be in these kind of downtown spots. In fact, a lot of cabs do tend to avoid the north side. And so the pitch that these rideshares are making is, look, we're going to be on the north side, we're going to be downtown, and you can, you know, get us, Uber likes to advertise within 4 minutes from anywhere downtown using that mobile app.
They have had to kind of go to some lengths to convince people that getting a ride from Uber or Lyft is a safe and secure kind of experience, and vice versa. The drivers who participate want to know something about their riders as well.
Right. And this is part of the newness of Lyft and Uber's approach. Using, like I said, the Facebook profile, what they do is they rate anyone who rides in the in Lyft or Uber. Likewise, the riders are rating the drivers. So ideally, you know, it's tracking where you're going. You've got this, social media, this kind of profile information out there. So what they're pitching is, hey, you're actually safer here. You know, there's accountability. If someone's not getting rated highly, you're not going to take a ride with that person.
Moreover, there's often no cash that's changing hands, right?
Right. And many cabs are switching to this as well. But what you're seeing with these apps is that people just put their credit card information in, and you're never going to be swiping any plastic. You're never going to, you know, have to run over to an ATM and get $20, which, again, is part of their pitch, them saying that this is us being a little safer, a little easier.
Well, and so is this likely the direction that this industry is going, regardless of who you get your ride from? Are we likely to see the traditional cab services start to look much more like the ride services?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, most of those cab services do have those apps in hand right now. The interface might not be quite so smooth as Uber or Lyft, but again, they've got several $1 million in fundraising out in California that they're putting into this technology.
Do we have any way of quantifying the impact these ride services have already had in Milwaukee, beyond the obvious point that they were a catalyst for lifting the caps?
Beyond that obvious point, I would say most of it's anecdotal. It's a lot of, you know, talking. You see that taxi line at the Pfister, for example. Talking to people over there, they're saying, well, you know, there used to be kind of a pecking order. People wait in line in their cabs. They pick up a fare. They go. Now you're going to see, you know, an Uber come in and pick someone up. You're going to see a Lyft stop by. And all of a sudden, that system's a little bit changed. In addition to that, it's talking to, especially, again, this kind of younger demographic, and you can see where the interest is going on that side very clearly, and unfortunately for the cabs, it's not in their direction.
Speaking of the demographic, you read a sidebar in this story about a firm called Startup Milwaukee and one of the people behind that firm. How do they fit into this picture?
Right. So one of the things that Uber and Lyft did very early on when they came to the city was they partnered with Startup Milwaukee and tried to kind of ingrain themselves in, again, that kind of young smartphone tech savvy demographic. And they also have, according to Matt Cordio, who's over there at 96 Square, the co-working space, a lot of the entrepreneurs over there are working part-time and, you know, giving people a couple rides using Lyft and making some money on the side.
Well, and so is that the typical demographic, if you will, of an Uber or Lyft driver, is someone who does it, you know, on an as-needed, as-available kind of basis?
Well, anecdotally and according to the companies, there is quite a range. There's people who are retired. There are stay-at-home moms. There's, you know, teachers, young people, old, whatever it might be. There is quite a range, and it's really anyone who has the qualifications and the right kind of car and, you know, pays the fee can supposedly do this.
So do we know how much they're making on a typical person might make driving for Uber or Lyft?
That's hard to say. It depends on the day from what the drivers have said. Sometimes in a week or so, they'll make about $400. Sometimes they will make little to nothing. It depends how often they're driving and when they're out.
Have you taken one of these services yourself?
I did, actually, for the Business Journal a month or so back. We did a comparison where I rode in with a couple of my coworkers, rode in each of these down to the Colectivo in Humboldt. And we went back and forth. And honestly, it was sort of hard to pick a standout. You know, it was all actually pretty good service.
Well, Allison Botter, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Mitch.
Allison Botter covers technology and innovation for the Milwaukee Business Journal, and she's a Lake Effect contributor. She wrote the cover story on rideshare services like Uber and Lyft that's in today's issue. There's a link from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Keep listening. After a break, among the hundreds of thousands of people who are expected to march this weekend in New York to demand action on climate change will be some Milwaukeeans. We'll meet half a dozen of them when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.